Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, 720 WGN.
Well, welcome to a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Chicago. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. High above the Chicago River. Thanks very much for tuning into the Wintrust Business Lunch on this nice summer day. You know, we're going to talk with Amy Guth a little bit later in the program. She's the host of The Daily Gist, that podcast from Cranes and also Chicago WGN Radio. And one of the things we're going to talk about this week, or today, I should say, is Grubhub. But I think we're going to start the show with Grubhub, too. John Najarian is on a phone line from CNBC, watching Wall Street for us. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Great to be with you, Stephen. Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll get our lunch delivered here in a second, but let's just start generally. What happened? The Dow was up 177 points at one point this morning.
It was a combination of Morgan Stanley giving some cautious outlook for what they thought a trade war with China could result in, which is a recession. That's their words, not mine. And some of their outlook about their own earnings as well. That was a lot of it, because people are looking for exactly when are we going to get our first look at what the next quarter's earnings are, and are they going to contract? And the fact that a big firm like Morgan Stanley had some negative comments, I think, dampened investor sentiment.
I know Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, was talking about the odds of a deal with China as well. And they seem to be, he and another administration official, sort of tamping down this idea that there would be an agreement at the G20 summit. Is that having an impact, or is that sort of expected?
I guess that could have an impact as well, sir. We had Mnuchin speaking with the other finance officers from the G20. That has already occurred. Now they're laying the groundwork, of course, along with Wilbur Ross, for the G20 when the president, and we anticipate Xi Jinping and others, will have some fairly high-level talks about how exactly they wriggle out of what they've done. And the president, of course, talking tough again, since he perceives the deal with Mexico as being a real winner. He's now saying he will only do a, quote, great deal with China. So I imagine those comments are also weighing on the market a little, because it sort of implies that the deal terms are going to be tougher than China thought that they would be.
So we were going from a very good deal to now we need a great deal.
Now it's got to be a great deal, because we don't need just a good deal.
I talked about Grubhub a little bit, and we'll get to it more later, but Amazon announcing today they're getting out of the food delivery business, which is good news for Chicago-based Grubhub, and that's showing up on Wall Street.
Exactly. And I don't know exactly how long they're getting out of that. There's a lot of speculation about Amazon in all kinds of businesses. One of them was speculation about a delivery service in Great Britain, for instance. And if indeed they go for that and they like the management team there, then perhaps they're only shutting down this operation because they didn't like the people running it, and they'd rather acquire somebody who can do a good job running it. So I don't know that the worst is over for Grubhub as far as a big competitor deciding they want to jump in that space.
I mean, how about that, though? We seem to treat Amazon as if it's going to disrupt each and every sort of sector in the economy. I mean, do we make them a bigger boogeyman, really, than they deserve to be?
Yes, we do. Because people aren't just, it's not that we're any of these industries are trading in a vacuum. Retailers felt it, of course.
Right.
First book retailers, and then retailers for virtually everything else have felt it sector by sector, you know, right down to the things that you really can't do very well on Amazon, which are things like bags of fertilizer and picks and shovels and things that you would buy at Home Depot. They haven't exactly been carved up too hard but maybe some of their best margin business has been hurt by Amazon. And I think everybody's sort of wise to be aware of what Amazon might do in their space. But I don't think that, as you say, they should be perceived as Baba Yaga. That's the boogeyman from John Wick.
You mentioned what Amazon did to books. You know, I used to work for Barnes & Noble. I used to interview authors for them in their early podcasting days, and I see this week that it looks like it's come full circle. Now Barnes & Noble is going private.
Yeah, exactly. Elliott Management. We had unusual activity in that one just last week, and I was delighted to see Elliott ponying up some, you know, pretty big money to take them out. And I think that'll be a positive thing because they're likely to hold that for a while rather than they're not just a quick flip artist like some of these people that buy companies.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a dear spot in my heart for Barnes & Noble, but every time I go buy one, I'm like, I don't know how you're still there because, I mean, they're just so big and there's so many other easy ways to buy books.
Exactly. And you know, quite frankly, the books that you buy, whether it's buying a book and also getting the audiobook for free with it or buying the audiobook and getting the printed book right along with it, they have a lot of different ways that they can deliver us exactly what you and I want, and that's pretty special.
You know, this plant-based meat market has just been soaring, and it looks as if it had, the bubble's been pricked a little bit, at least when it comes to Beyond Meat. They're last I saw, they were down 20% today?
Yeah, and, you know, you applaud it when it works in your favor, and you probably demonize it when it works against you. This has been a tremendous short squeeze, this particular stock. Yes, they have a lot of adoption pretty fast from grocery stores, fast food chains, and the like. And they've had 20% and even 30% jumps in the stock to the upside. So it's only natural that you'd see, you know, something like this, especially when you have J.P. Morgan downgrading them today.
Okay, so not a huge deal, you're thinking long-term?
No.
Okay.
I didn't think that was a huge deal. But I do think that it's still at $120, $130 a share. It's still five times the price that it came out just over a month and a half ago. So, I mean, you know, I think if you put it in perspective, you're not going to say that this is a screaming buy after a 20% correction from a really overbought situation.
The president went after the Fed again today with a tweet. And, you know, I have a travel company. I'm taking a group to Switzerland next week. The president is tweeting at the Fed that too many Americans are going to Europe. Can you explain that for me?
Well, certainly with the price of the euro to the dollar going down this dramatically, as you guys will experience, it's back down around 112, 111, 112, I believe, to the dollar. That's down substantially. So you guys are going to have a lot of bargains. And, you know, when you've got tourists looking for a deal, you're certainly finding it in Europe. Sorry about that. A lot of folks in New York not real happy with the traffic.
Right. Well, well, what are you recommending today? Give us your hit and then we'll run.
Okay. Today we were buying eBay, E-B-A-Y. Of course, the online auction site. Love it. And apparently a lot of people betting on the upside. Institutional paper was buying in there very aggressively. So we jumped in and bought right along with them.
Are you an Uber driver in your spare time? Is that why they're honking at you?
We just walked out of the New York Stock Exchange, and the traffic in Lower Manhattan can be pretty choking just because there's one garbage truck in the way.
All right,
so
John.
It's very thin roads down here.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks, bud. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Okay, this is weird. I just read a commercial with the word Lamborghini in it, and my next guest is named Lamborghini. Flavia Lamborghini is in the studio. Welcome, Flavia.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to see you again. We met a few months ago. I know I talk on the program about the James Tyree Award from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and for the past few years, I've been there for the semifinalists, the pitch night, and that's when they narrowed it down to, I think, six. then down to three, and now there is one. Flavia was the winner of the $50,000 prize. Congratulations.
We are so excited and thankful for this award. It means a world to us.
You know, you were, I remember the night when they announced that you were in the semifinalists. You had the biggest cheer.
Yes, we did.
Did you notice that? Because there's something about what you do and your mission, yes, I think, that yes, really brings out the best,
yes,
in people.
Yes.
You are behind Apple Dental Care. Explain that for me.
Apple Dental Care is a pediatric dental office practice that has grown from a very, very small, tiny practice in Logan Square,
yeah,
to three offices, more than 30,000 patients that... It's just our growth has been exponential.
Why is it that you think you're growing so fast?
Well, we wanted to every kid to have the best dental care that we could offer. Many of us are specialists, pediatric dentists, and we open the door to every kid that walk to our door. So 90% of our patients are public aid.
They're poverty.
They are under the poverty level and have the public aid card.
Which is Medicaid. You take
it
Medicaid.
It is Medicaid.
And that's unusual, isn't it? Dentists don't usually take Medicaid.
It is. Many dentists are fee-for-service offices or just insurance. We wanted every kid to have the best dental care possible. So we do take the medical card, and now we have more than 30,000 patients. So we grew.
So you're a business,
yes,
right? And
yes,
so that might not be the most lucrative approach.
Well, being honest, the margins are very slim.
Yeah.
But we see a lot of patients in our three practices, and also even at the hospital for kids that have behavioral disorders or any other condition that cannot sit on the dental chair.
Let's talk about your history. Your grandfather was a dentist?
Yes, my grandfather was a pediatric dentist, and I grew up playing on the chairs that he had at the time, many years ago.
In Argentina. And did you always know you? Did your family come here, or did you come here for school?
I came here to further my studies.
At UIC?
Yes, at UIC, and I'm still there. And I teach in the postgraduate program in pediatric dentistry, so many dentists that want to be pediatric dentists.
You're a leader, clearly. Are others following? Do you see other dental practices following this?
Well, yes, there are. I have 18 residents. Many of them, when they finish, they work at Apple Dental. It's a great experience because we feel we give back to the community while we are doing what we know to do the best.
Tell me about that, because it does seem like when people get into your orbit, they don't get out.
It's we want to trap them there. Yes, of course. It's very rewarding giving back to the community. And many of our patients become part of our team.
And
so they become dental assistants or front desk personnel. So we do become a big family because we see this growth, and we've been with these people for so many years.
Three clinics since 2007, right? Yes. Do you plan to expand further, or is three a good number?
Well, we want to expand further. We'll see what the future gives us. But
it's a great gift, isn't it, to be able to help a kid who can't get help anywhere else.
Yes.
I mean, there are other offices won't do it.
Yeah, it's very, very rewarding. We do take kids that cannot have treatment on the dental chair to general anesthesia. Our wait list is 2 to 3 months. In other places, it's up to 2 years.
Wow, yeah.
So it's pretty dramatic.
$50,000.
Yes.
I would imagine, having known you a little bit, that's going straight into your pocket.
It goes all to my team. Many of my teams are very successful and proud individuals that have all what it takes to be successful in education. So This $50,000 is going to be grants or funds for education, for my dental assistants, for my team, so they can go to college, they can advance their degrees.
So when you say they have everything they need for college, you're talking about their intelligence. They're
exactly.
smart, they're prepared.
They are super smart and committed.
They might not have the money.
The financial part is difficult.
And now they do.
Yes. Yes, we are very, very happy and proud.
Flavia Lamborghini, the person behind Apple Dental Care. Thanks very much for coming by. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Eric Rung. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, and we thank them for that. A little bit later in the program, Amy Guth will be along. You know, she's the host of the daily podcast, The Daily Gist from Crane Chicago Business, and we'll talk to her about what's coming up on that. Maybe she'll bring lunch, because I think Grubhub is the topic today. Okay, so if you go into my basement, I've got all of these college papers and all of this stuff that my wife really wants me to get rid of. Sort of like that, I would imagine a lot of businesses around as well. A lot of paperwork stocking up, and it's time to go digital for that. One of the companies that helps with that is Impact Networking. Corey Carnes is the Illinois manager and partner at Impact Networking, and he joins us in the studio. Now, Corey, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve.
All
appreciate
right.
you having me.
I think most of us know Impact Networking because of Impact Field, right? We drive by in the tri-state.
Yeah, Impact Field, Blackhawks, Cubs, list goes on and
right,
on.
Right, right. So you can get me tickets to see the dogs play?
Oh, they're in the mail.
They're in the mail. Tell me about Impact Marketing and what it is you do, because we were talking off the air that it's a pretty broad-based business.
It is. So yeah, Impact Networking started out '99, so this year's our 20-year anniversary. In our infancy, it was primarily print and document management services.
So you're selling office machines, right?
Yeah, office equipment, and then managing the actual supplies and service that goes along with them. We did a great job at that. Customers were asking for more technology mm-hmm. services, and now we've really evolved into a digital transformation company. So it's a broad term, like Ed mentioned, and you just alluded to that. So digital transformation could be anything from helping people digitize paper processes, like you had just mentioned to introduce the show, but also helping with ways to get data into systems, IT services.
But it almost seems like you were, if you were a surfer, you caught the wave.
We did. Right? We did. We invested in the right different business disciplines at the right time. We've always had really forward-looking leadership to help us with that journey. And IT security, cybersecurity, that kind of stuff is on everybody's mind nowadays. I mean, you see it in the news every single day.
So it strikes me, if I'm a business guy and I'm running my business, you know, I'm in it because if I want to do dry cleaning, or I want to, you know, manufacture widgets or things like that. And then those business owners sometimes get derailed, right, with all the other stuff. And
Absolutely.
You guys deal with all the other stuff.
Yeah, and there are tons of stats you could read in the IT business out there, and half of them will put you to sleep. But
right.
one of the shocking ones that I've heard recently, and I think it was at a Microsoft conference, that 100% of businesses in the SMB market in the next 2 years will outsource some type of IT services. So it's just gotten too complex to do it all yourself
right,
nowadays.
Right.
Even companies that have in-house IT, they need help.
And so, but I would, so I'm thinking of that, and I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to share my IT details with a third party. But the fact is, you're probably more secure than the college kid I'm hiring to take care of my IT.
Much more secure. And regardless of the age, again, you know, because it's gotten so complex with security, you can't do it with one person, even if they're one of the best IT people out there.
So if you're riding this wave, you know, and we're digitizing everything, there's going to be a point where everything is digitized and you won't be cleaning up the back offices, right? Or do you see that, or what comes next after that?
Automation is another big piece of our business. So not necessarily just documents mm-hmm. And workflow, but looking at how people get information into systems, marketing services, digitizing those types of services versus just your traditional print is another big area of expertise for
us. Tell me about the marketing a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, traditionally companies have marketed themselves through print, and nowadays you see a lot more with social media. You see LinkedIn, you see click ads when you're on Amazon. You know, it's targeted marketing toward you know, the specific users that you want or that make sense for your business.
It's the same thing. You know, I run a, I have a little travel business on the side, and I know I need to advertise, you know, on social media and things like that. I don't have it in my brain, or I don't have the time to do it, and so time just passes and I don't get it done.
Yeah, and a lot of companies don't have the budget, so if you can put it on a managed program instead of having to spend that money up front, it's a unique way to look at it, and that's one of the things that we've brought to market.
You're based in Lake Forest, right?
Correct.
So tell me about being an Illinois or Chicago area-based company, because, you know, this is the Wintrust business lunch. If you're around, you see the name Wintrust. But it's the same thing with Impact Networking. I mean, you guys have certainly put a stamp when it comes to marketing and getting your name out there and being part of the community.
Yeah, we're really our own best case study from that perspective. You know, back in 2003 when I started, that wasn't the case. But now, you know, we have a strong logo, a strong presence off a lot of the highways and relationships with sports teams that we've done a great job marketing ourselves, but we've also had a ton of great referrals from customers. We have customers. We have a great customer retention rate, over 93%, which is unique in this industry.
But it strikes me that it comes from within as well, because from what I read about you guys, and you in particular, you're a company that takes young people, grows them and allows them to grow up through there. People are staying there. That says something about the culture at the company.
Yeah, and that's pushed from the top down. You know, culture is number one. Our employees are the number one asset for the company. And if we do a good job at retaining them and developing them, they'll pass that on to the customer. So naturally, it'll just take care of itself. And that's where our growth has come from.
Corey Carnes is the Illinois manager and partner at Impact Networking. Okay, what's next for you guys?
Optimize. It's a big event we're having in August, on August 8th, out at Navy Pier. It's a digital transformation summit.
Oh, excellent. Where do people find out more about that?
Optimize. The website is impactoptimize.com. It's coming up, like I said, on August 8th. It's purely educational. We have some great keynote speakers and some great breakout workshops in the afternoon. It's really for any type of business or any type of role, but it's focused more on the executive and business leaders.
Sweet. Corey, thank you for coming by today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Are you into cooking? Have you found yourself using more tomatoes in recipes recently? Well, if you don't notice that kind of stuff, chances are you probably have been, because the industry demand has been spiking for tomatoes, and Mighty Vine, the hydroponic tomato growing company, is taking full advantage of it. The Chicago company is expanding their growing space with the help of Rabo Agro Finance. And honestly, these might be the happiest growers in the country right now, because the weather isn't a factor for their product. Not every farmer has the option to grow in greenhouses like Mighty Vine, but as more extreme weather becomes the norm, growing options like this looks pretty good. Maybe one day, instead of going to the farm, we'll be going to the lab to get our veggies. And Dr. Susan Bailey is feeling pretty good today as well, as she is the new president-elect of the American Medical Association. In case you didn't know, the AMA is based here in the city and oversees 250,000 members. They conduct research, solve public health issues, and help further the industry to keep us all healthy. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. We started the show talking with John Najarian from CNBC about Grubhub, so we're going to bookend it with that while you enjoy your lunch. Maybe it was delivered by Grubhub. I don't know. Amy Guth is in the studio, the host of The Daily Gist. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And so Grubhub got a nice little delivery itself today from Amazon, didn't it?
Yeah, so it got a little bit of a boost today on Wall Street on news that Amazon is abandoning its restaurant delivery business in the U.S. So suddenly a lot of people went, oh, better go invest in Grubhub, better go back them. Which is, you know, it's an interesting space because we also have DoorDash and Uber Eats. We have Postmates. We've got a lot going in that spot.
And I think last I saw, Grubhub was up maybe 7%, the Chicago-based company, of course. Is it Uber Eats that's the big challenger to Grubhub's?
Well, Uber Eats is a whole other story that's really interesting. It's another one that I talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago because They're suddenly franchisees at McDonald's are being given a little more leeway as to who they can use. So they had this very exclusive arrangement with Uber Eats. Now franchisees have a little more room there. So that's kind of its own beast, but there's so many apps in that space. And, you know, I was watching this on social media and some people were like, oh yeah, I forget Amazon even had restaurant. I just rely on them for groceries and my, you know, stuff that I order for my house.
And so, but Amazon's still going to continue their program in Great Britain, I think, correct?
Correct. And I don't see Amazon suffering or scaling back anywhere anytime soon.
So John Najarian early made the point that they may be just perfecting it there or refining it there.
That could be.
And then bring it back here.
Yeah, that could be. Or it could be, you know, maybe the competition looks different there. So let's build out stronger infrastructure, learn what we need to learn, and then come back with it. Or just focus on markets where we know it's needed. It's always hard to tell what that Bezos is thinking.
For now, it's a good day for Grubhub. You know, I have never used Grubhub.
I haven't either.
Is that right?
No, I haven't either.
I think we're the only two people I know.
You know what? I always feel really guilty getting food. I won't even order pizza. I'll go get it.
I like to go get it too.
Yeah, I feel, first of all, I don't like waiting. I'm a very not good at waiting for food person.
So even if you're driving the same amount of time, you're doing something active and it feels better.
I don't drive, so I just walk over there and get it. But I always feel bad because the only time I ever want food delivered is when the weather's bad. And I was like, but I can't ask someone to be out in this. They'll catch their death.
Well, that's what Grubhub is for, and I'm sure they'd be happy if you gave them a call.
I'm sure they would.
What else is on the Daily Gist today?
Well, we talked a little bit about the breaking news, and that is about the Obama library lawsuit.
Yeah, that just happened when I took a seat in here.
Just a minute ago, a judge has thrown that out. There's already an appeal planned. So we talked about that a little bit. But the thing I'm most excited about on the show today is I had a conversation with John Pletz. He's the technology reporter at Crane's Chicago Business. He rode in a self-driving car down the Kennedy.
Nice.
And he captured some audio. I can't possibly, you know, use all the audio, but he captured some good audio. He was not driving. He was riding in it, but he was able to see see a screen during it of exactly what's happening with the algorithm as you're driving, as you're riding around. It was fascinating.
Check it out. It's the Daily Gist. You can download it a little bit later today from WGNRadio.com. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much.